You can find me where the music meets the ocean. If you get the notion, stop on by and play a while. Simple tune to get your love light glowing. Keep your heart wide open, disappear just like the tide. Let it roll on by and jump right in. Let the music pull you in. You can jump right in or lose yourself again as the southern wind sings again and not a lullaby. Southern wind sings again and not a lullaby. Not a lullaby.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Japan's prime minister delivered remarks on Capitol Hill today. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has more.
The Japanese prime minister warmed the hearts of representatives and senators, talking about his childhood in Queens, rooting for the Mets and Yankees, and watching the Flintstones.
Although I could never translate yabba-dabba-doo.
But Fumio Kishida turned serious, warning of threats from China and North Korea, and noting the free world looks to the U.S. for leadership in its support for Ukraine.
Ukraine of today may be East Asia of tomorrow.
President Biden holding talks today with Japan's prime minister, along with Philippines' leader this afternoon. The president also keeping up with Israel's concerns over Iranian proxies that could carry out strikes against Israel. CENTCOM's top U.S. Army general is in Israel for meetings today. O.J. Simpson has died, his family says, after a battle with prostate cancer. The football actor and defendant was 76. This is ABC News. Iowa's governor signing a bill allowing the arrest and deportation of undocumented immigrants.
The bill signed by Governor Kim Reynolds authorizes state and local police to arrest undocumented immigrants who illegally entered the country and gives state courts the authority to deport them. The new law creates the crime of illegal entry in Iowa and calls for up to 2 years in prison if an undocumented immigrant is convicted. It's set to take effect July 1st unless an appeals court blocks it. A similar law in Texas has been held up in the courts as federal judges consider whether it's constitutional. Courts have historically found that only the federal government can enforce immigration laws. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Your internet plan may soon make more sense. A new FCC rule requires internet service providers give what's being called nutrition-like labels so customers can see details of the company's plans, including fees and download speeds. They now must be posted in stores and online and meant to help consumers comparison shop and avoid junk fees. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth,
let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ahlen. Donald Trump wants Wisconsin's elections administrator removed. During a Tuesday call to the regular Joe Show on WTAQ Radio in Green Bay, the former president claimed there's widespread support for firing Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator Megan Wolf.
And Robin Voss, who's a Republican, is allowing her to be there. I don't understand it. I can't imagine it. And Robin Voss is very friendly with Reince Priebus, so what's going on with that whole situation?
Voss has declined to impeach Wolf. Priebus, who's a former Trump chief of staff who's currently working on this summer's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, would have no role in removing Wolf from office. Wisconsin Elections Commission spokesperson declined comment. Wednesday marks 50 days since the disappearance of Elijah Vu. The boyfriend of the three-year-old boy's mother, Jesse Vang, reported Elijah missing February 20th from his apartment in Two Rivers. As the search for Elijah continues, Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Minert tells WISN-TV in Milwaukee, police have no evidence that supports Elijah being abducted, nor do they have evidence that he simply walked off. Vang and the boy's mother, Katrina Bauer, are in custody facing child neglect charges. Wisconsin is well positioned to implement new enforceable standards on several forever chemicals from the Environmental Protection Agency. Adam DeWeese is chief of the Wisconsin DNR's Public Water Supply Section.
We implemented state standards back in 2022. So the same public water systems that are affected by these new EPA standards are the same systems that we already had sampled.
Over 2,000 of Wisconsin's roughly 11,500 public water systems will be affected by the new federal standards. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
While the rest of the world paused during the COVID pandemic, Worthington, Minnesota has been busy. Worthington has rebuilt four parks, built an indoor turf rec center, a splash pad, a community pavilion, pickleball courts, lighted biking and walking trails, and added lake rentals. But we're just getting started. A lakeside eatery and a new outdoor aquatic center is coming. And here's the thing. Worthington, Minnesota is a great place to eat, play, live, and stay. This is your invitation. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and a thunderstorm possible as well. High temperatures will flirt with 60 degrees and winds will start to ramp up this evening and into tomorrow too, dragging our high temperatures down for Friday into the mid-50s. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 58.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Power from the B&M Group, from B&M Crop Consulting, excuse me. Directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Another beautiful day up here in Northeast Iowa.
Yeah?
If they are not starting to roll, they're itching.
Uh-huh.
To get ready to roll. Here it is. It's April 11th, man. It's time to be putting some seed in the ground, I think, is what the calendar is saying, isn't it?
Is there a cream for that itch? What do we do?
No, it's a very complicated kind of salve. A lot of it is
salve.
Made up. Yeah, a lot of it is gear grease.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, that will take care of a lot of the itch.
A little gear grease tincture will set you straight, huh? Good to know.
That's right. That's right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Something's going on with the Argentine corn crop. The Argentine Grain Exchange really just pulled the rug out from underneath its estimate of the Argentine corn crop. Mm-hmm. We will find out from Dr. Michael Cordonier what is going on. He was on it. He dropped his crop estimate for Argentina earlier this week, and we'll find out exactly what he is seeing in that Argentine crop. And then CONAB. CONAB is out with some estimates. We'll find out what CONAB is looking at for Brazilian corn and soybean production ahead of USDA's updates coming at 11 o'clock Central Time this morning.
Yeah. Great.
So, yeah.
To Argentina, Spiroplasma. Yeah. I had to take three passes at that when I was doing my morning audio recording.
Right.
Spiroplasma disease carried by leafhoppers. Is that Portuguese for grasshopper, perhaps? Leafhopper? Is it the same thing?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, we got to find out. You know, lots of questions for Dr. C.
Absolutely. We'll find out from him here in just a bit. All right. Let's get to the news, dude.
I'm going to start with the weather. Powerful storm system to foster high wind potential over much of the eastern United States today with severe weather, heavy rain, and flash flood threats for parts of the southeast, upper Ohio Valley, and into the northern mid-Atlantic. There's a high wind threat, everybody, continues across the Great Lakes, northeast, and into the Appalachians on Friday into early Saturday, as a flash flood threat will be confined to northern New England.
Yeah, we had just some very light showers go through this morning. I'm sure that it's not even going to register on any of the rain gauges out there. But yeah, the activity is obviously east of the Mississippi River here this morning.
Well, Chip, the U.S. dollar spiked overnight, and traders slashed their bets on when or even if the Fed would cut interest rates this year. Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary and critic of the Fed's handling of inflation, told Bloomberg that a rate increase cannot be ruled out. Such uncertainty could last for months and complicate President Biden's bid for a second term. Chip, at the beginning of the year, there was a strong consensus among traders, obviously, that the Fed would cut rates significantly, possibly by as much as 150 basis points. But the situation is now different. The first rate cut now only fully priced for November, Chip.
Yeah. If we get a rate cut in November, I don't know if we will or not.
Producer prices in the U.S. were up 0.2% month over month in March, the smallest increase in 3 months following a 0.6% rise in February, and it came in below forecasts for that March producer price index.
Yeah, some conflicting info on the consumer price versus the producer price.
Mm-hmm. Bovine influenza A virus, or BAV, was detected in a dairy herd in North Carolina, the state's ag commissioner Steve Troxler said. That marks the 21st case of BAV, and North Carolina is the seventh state. Mm-hmm. During its April meeting, the European Central Bank kept interest rates at historically high levels, maintaining the main refinancing operations rate at 4.5%. That marks the fifth consecutive meeting without a change in rates.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to watch what's going on in the foreign central banks, because they might be first with rate cuts.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would force the hand of the Fed, but that's one of those outside influences that's stuck in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, European gas futures surged by 5%, approaching their highest level in 2 months, propelled by concerns over potential attacks on Ukrainian gas storage facilities and escalating geopolitical tensions in the Middle East. And sticking with the energy here, ongoing violence in Gaza amid stalled ceasefire negotiations between Israel and Hamas, coupled with U.S. intelligence warnings of potential strikes from Iran, fueled fears of further disruptions to oil supply. Iran, the third largest OPEC producer, faces heightened geopolitical tensions with Israel, raising concerns about oil production and distribution. Meanwhile, Chip, U.S. crude inventories surged by 5.841 million barrels last week, exceeding market expectations, and indicating possible oversupply conditions here, buddy.
Yeah, that increase in the supply, I think, is what's got the crude oil market under pressure this morning. May crude oil WTI down $1.03 right now.
And finally, the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the electrical system of the Dolly following its collision with the Key Bridge, which resulted in the bridge's collapse in Baltimore. Collaboration with Hyundai, the manufacturer of the engine room equipment on the Dolly, is underway to examine that system. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director of Drovers. Hey, Greg, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Chip. How are you?
Doing real fine. Real fine. King Ranch getting bigger, buying in more feedlot operations. What's going on?
Yeah. So King Ranch, that 850,000-acre ranch in South Texas, has bought 50% share in Cobalt Cattle Company, which is the nation's fourth largest cattle feeding operations. They have six feed yards in Colorado, Kansas, and Texas. That's about 350,000 head. Okay. And I think this is significant, Chip, because it kind of gives us an idea of some of the consolidation that's going on, and maybe some of the consolidation we're going to see as this feeder cattle supply continues to shrink over the next 2 years. You know, we've got 24.2 million feeder cattle supply now. That was down 7% from 2022. We haven't started building the herd yet, so that number is going to shrink even more. Chip, I think that's going to put enormous pressure on the small and medium-sized cattle feeders. You know, you just mentioned interest rates. Those are a lot higher. A lot of these smaller yards also have the older facilities, and their capital requirements right now are just enormous. I think this gives us an idea that some of these larger feed yards, some of whom are adding pen space today, are going to have reason to buy out these smaller guys. Maybe some of the smaller guys quit. I just see consolidation expanding as we go through this period of time.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's one of the things that is frustrating to a lot, to many in the cattle industry, is the fact that more and more cattle being raised by fewer and fewer owners. And it's the growing pains are not insignificant. I mean, the hog guys have been through it, so have the poultry guys. And this, it's not any fun. Not any fun. Greg, good Absolutely. Stuff. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Yep, Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. We've got Dr. Michael Cordonier next.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
If farmers know one thing to be true, it's this. There are a lot of factors you can't control. The weather, breakdowns, and a million other variables. But for all the uncertainty, you wouldn't change a thing. Because that's farming. And that's why Koch Agronomic Services works to make life on the farm a bit more predictable. From nutrient management and protection to plant growth and seed enhancement, get the confidence of being in control. Visit KochAgSolutions.com.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Get more with Stein. When it comes to soybean breeding, more generations equals additional yield. 2.2% more yield per generation. By introducing more new genetics faster than any other seed company, Stein delivers on the Stein has yield promise. For elite genetics paired with simple, flexible, and effective weed control, plant Stein Enlist E3 soybeans. Stein has yield. Yield plus advantage. Learn more at steinseed.com.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. It's Thursday already. Wow, Thursday morning. Yeah. And off we go. We've got USDA supply and demand reports coming up here in just a little bit. Top of the hour from USDA. The feature of those reports going to be adjustments, if there are any. Well, heck, Davis, if there aren't any adjustments, that's going to be a feature as well to the Brazilian corn and soybean crop estimates and the Argentine corn and soybean crop estimates. Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor has been keeping track of the South American crops and potential for many, many years, and he's been the Pro Farmer Crop Consultant, and he joins us right now. Michael, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Chip. Always glad to talk to you.
Yeah, glad you're here, man. So the Rosario Grain Exchange this morning put out that they cut their corn crop, the Argentine corn crop estimate, by 6.5 million ton, Michael, down to 50.5 million metric tons. 50.5, that's below where you're looking for it, isn't it?
Yeah, I just cut mine 2 million down to 53. And they cite, now that was a cut from their original estimate. Now they cited the problems with corn leafhoppers, which spread corn stunt disease. Now this is kind of a new thing in Argentina. And I think they're still in a learning process, so to speak, how to control this little insect. And once this insect infects the corn plant, there's no cure. There's no recuperation from it. And if you look at, say, the province of Cordoba, that's about 28% of the corn acres and production in Argentina. And in that province, it was planted very late. 90% of the corn was planted extra late. And the later the corn is, the more incidence you're going to have of these corn leafhoppers, and the greater the problem with the disease. So this thing kind of got out of control here pretty quick. And it might actually get worse before it's all said and done. So this is a new thing in Argentina.
Yeah.
So no one expected this, of course, a couple of months ago.
What is it, Michael? Is it just opening up the interior of the plant to the environment and letting disease in, or is it, what's it doing to the crop?
It gives it a bacterial disease.
Okay.
And the earlier the plant gets infected, the worse it is. So the early planted corn in Argentina, they're harvesting right now, yields are actually pretty darn good in Argentina. But the early yields are going to be the best. The later yields are going to be the worst. And it's all the late planted corn that got planted in December and early January that's going to be infected. So it's a bacterial disease. There's no antidote, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you got to control the insect.
Well,
and I've seen reports guys have sprayed 4 or 5 times and they can't control it.
Okay. Well, I was just going to ask, is it a brand new disease that they have never had to deal with before? Or is this a disease that they've had in the past but have controlled?
No. This is new in Argentina.
Okay.
There may have been some there last year, but this year is the worst for sure. Brazil had it starting about, I would say, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it has now spread to all of Brazil, and they are having trouble controlling it as well. So, no, this is a new phenomenon in Argentina.
Wow. Okay. So do you think that corn crop could get down to 50 million metric tons?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh.
Yes, because about 40% of the corn was planted in the early phase, and about 60% was planted in the late phase. Now, this insect migrates from early planting, from more mature corn to less mature corn. And, in fact, in Brazil, for example, places like Paraná, where they plant 2 corn crops, an early one and a late one, you know, they told the farmers, you know, if you're going to plant a safrinha corn, plant it as in the smallest window possible, so the insect doesn't have more corn to keep going to as you plant it later and later and later. Well, that's the current scenario in Argentina. You know, 40% was planted in September, October. Then they stopped planting in November, like usual. Then they started planting in December and January. So now you got 60% of the crop is sort of vulnerable to the insect. So yes, it we could get down lower and lower. You know, and I said a long time ago that I thought corn would be the big surprise in South America this year because of less safrinha production, but I had not anticipated this corn leafhopper problem in Argentina.
Okay. All right. Well, CONAB numbers were out this morning, too. CONAB put the Brazilian corn crop 110.964 million metric tons, down from its previous estimate of 112.753. What are you thinking on the Brazilian corn crop?
Yeah, they're down to basically 111 Yeah. I'm at 112. And okay. the big change was, of course, the safrinha. So they increased the safrinha acreage at 26,000, but they lowered the yield almost 2 bushels per acre. So now the safrinha production is down 1.7 million from last month. And, the big dilemma is in Brazil, the acreage. Now, USDA, we'll see what they say here in an hour or so.
Yep.
But they are about 10 million tons more than CONAB for Brazil corn. I don't know which one's correct. We'll see what USDA does here in a little bit.
Yeah.
But the acreage, well, go ahead.
I was going to ask, where do you think all of this is on USDA's detection meter? You know, because the private forecasters, you and others, have been out in front leading the Brazilian crop estimates to the downside. USDA seems to be very stubborn where it's at, and I think a lot of that has to do because USDA just sees more area planted to the to corn and soybeans, right?
Yes, they say that there's more acreage in the northeastern part of Brazil, where it is kind of a frontier area. So they say that their satellites are picking up more corn and more soybeans up there, but people on the ground say not so much.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to know who to believe, quite frankly.
Okay. So let's start with Argentina. Is USDA going to pick up this problem with the corn crop?
My guess is no. And here's why I think that way. The first yields coming out of Argentina are really good. So the corn is looking really good, but that's only like 40% of the total. And this recent disease with the corn, this came in, it's getting worse and worse. It started a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think they're going to pick that up right now. So they might trim it a little bit for Argentine corn, but they're not going to be down to 50, 51, 52 million tons. Yeah. They're going to be much higher than that.
Michael, I don't remember a time when the industry estimates have been this far from USDA's thoughts and the spread has been as wide as it is. Is this something we're going to have to get used to?
I don't know. But I think this is an oddball year for sure, especially in Brazil, where they had record high temperatures, record low rainfall, October, November. A lot of the soybeans had to be replanted. Some were abandoned. Some switched over to other crops like cotton and grain sorghum and that sort of thing. So that was very, very odd for Brazil. And now we got this disease situation in Argentina, which is very odd as well.
Yeah.
So it just has not been a normal year in South America. And let me throw another one into the works. I just saw a report that there's a 62% chance that we'll be back into a La Nina by fall, which is spring in South America. The last time we had a La Nina, it was drought all over the place in South America. So we may go into another year in South America, which is very hard to predict, acreage and yields and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you're correct. This is the biggest spread I've ever seen in South America.
Yep. So still a lot of questions to be answered on this one. Michael, thanks for giving us an update on the situation, especially with what's happening in Argentina. Keep me up to date on that, and we'll get you back on for an update later.
Sure, no problem. Always my pleasure.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Michael. That is Dr. Michael Cordonier, Pro Farmer Crop Consultant, Soybean and Corn Advisor. Okay, CONAB, as I said, 111 is what they're looking for on the Brazilian corn crop. CONAB is also looking for the bean crop estimate to come in at one, or put the Brazilian bean crop at 146.5 million metric tons, down from 146.8 in its last estimate. All right, we're going to talk Eastern Corn Belt production. That's next.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that combines precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble.
The alignment of these brands supports farmers, dealers, and OEMs globally. PTx Trimble and Precision Planting understand the challenges of farming. That's why they design solutions to help you implement technology and automation on your farm. They knew there was a better way, so they're building it together. With a combined set of products from Precision Planting and PTx Trimble, there are now precision ag technologies to touch all brands, equipment types, and farms. PTx spans the entire crop cycle, from land prep to planting, spraying to harvesting, and each pass in between. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTx. Visit ptxag.com to learn more.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady Beach. Half hour.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, May milk down 50 cents to 16.16. June down 54 to 16.65. July down 36 to 17.31. August down 6 at 17.92. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly higher as the WASDE report was supportive for both the cattle and beef markets. Beef production for 2024 did grow by 130 million pounds from last month's projection as carcass weights are heavier and processing speeds are projected to run more aggressively than originally assumed. Now, hog markets, they are moving up mostly higher. Positive export inspections report and a positive WASDE report helping to support many of the hog contracts. April live cattle up 87 cents to 179.95. April feeder cattle up 27 cents to 288.55. May hogs up 72 cents to 97.27. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets are moving mostly lower as the U.S. corn outlook is for greater corn used for ethanol and feed and residuals use and also smaller ending stocks, but it's not enough to help support the corn markets today. Soybeans moving mostly lower, including lower imports, residuals, and exports, along with higher ending stocks from the WASDE report. Wheat markets also moving mostly lower. New crop corn down 3.25 to 4.67. New crop beans down 3.5 to 11.65 and 3/4. May wheat down 8.25.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We're going to talk about what's going on over in the Eastern Corn Belt right now with crop consultant Missy Bauer, B&M Crop Consulting. Missy, it's great to talk with you. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. Probably got more rain last night than we need, but we're all right.
All right. How are things there around Coldwater, Michigan?
You know, we're not too bad. Some beans went in the ground the last couple of days. I would say mainly Tuesday and yesterday, so some of the early beans. So conditions had been pretty decent right along. We've kind of been on the edge of that drought map, but, you know, last few weeks we've gotten a lot more rain. But overall conditions are still pretty good. We don't probably need all we're going to get out of this system. But we're set up pretty good. A lot of field work got done in March first half of March there when it was so nice, and February and stuff. So it's a different start. A lot of times we're getting in the fields and we're so far behind with the fertilizer and the lime and, you know, all the other tillage things that we need to do. So a lot of that's actually done for once. So that, I think, is a good thing. So,
Yeah. Now, you're based there, Coldwater, Michigan, but a lot of your work is done in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, as you get down into Indiana and in Ohio, it's definitely been a lot wetter down there for sure. So less things have been getting done. You know, it's coming out of a very interesting winter, right? We're very mild winter across the board. So it's a little different than what we're used to. I think farmers kind of forget what some of the issues that come along with that. I mean, definitely we could have more issues with insects or whatever that you think about. But the weeds is probably our biggest problem that, you know, if we don't get in and get some of these burn downs done, and guys try to cheat as much as they can on not having to do some of those and try to just kind of plant and then spray. But boy, some of these fields are getting really dirty. And, you know, for some of us, for corn, we got a while to go probably before we're going to plant too much corn. And the weed issue, I'm very, very concerned about.
Well, and they've got the forecast calls for some activity in your weather pattern over the next week or 10 days with some rains, right?
Yeah, there's more rain in the forecast and, you know, warm temps. So I think that's the difference. You know, a lot of times we've had where you get a little wet in the spring, but it's the warm temperatures that we had early on and continue to get these spurts of warm, you know, and that's what really gets the weed pressure going and kind of gets it out of hand. Once you get that little bit of moisture, that's all it needed at that point.
Yep. So you guys had a great year last year with corn and corn yields in particular. Soybean yields were also pretty doggone good over there. How does that change what you need to do to prep for the crop this year?
You know, I think we did come off some huge corn yields, and we come off a fall where there was nothing done in the fall because we were such late harvest over here. So it did mean, you know, a lot of tillage work needed to get done. Was probably the main thing because we come out of a fall with none getting done. But that being said, February was so nice and the first half of March was so nice. A lot of that work that we normally do in the fall got done during that time frame. So I don't know that the big yields affect too much other than, you know, your normal plans and preparation. You got more residue maybe to deal with, but we're kind of used to that at this point. So, I think it's just, you know, try to, you know, lay out your plan and follow that agronomic plan of what we want to do. You know, obviously with the prices, you know, sinking like they had there, you know, a lot of guys are trying to figure out what can I cut or what can I pinch. But when it comes to these types of margin years, you know, bushels are what make it win. So you got to be real cautious cutting too much. So we've had a lot of meetings with growers of, you know, sticking the course. And I would say that, you know, the majority of your guys understand that and are willing to do that. Now, maybe it's the little things maybe they don't need to do. Well, do I want to try this new product? Well, maybe I don't need to try that this year. Maybe I'll wait till next year to try something new, or, you know, when there's a little bit more fluff in the margins. So.
Yep. All right. So this time of the year, what do you find yourself reminding growers over there that they need to do consistently to grow that extra bushel per acre or something like that?
Right. So right now, I think, you know, as, you know, maybe a lot of guys haven't really turned too much over by us as far as in the planters, but these, you know, this next week or so as you wrap things up, you know, that planter prep is just huge, and making sure your corn and bean planter both, you've got basically went through your 10-point planter checklist and you've got all that taken care of. And then as we head out to the field, I think the biggest thing that we've learned over the last several years is the amount of patience we need to have for planting corn is huge. So if you get antsy and you want to do something, we've been very successful planting beans early. I mean, yes, it still needs to be fit. We're not going to go mud beans in, but planting beans early, whatever we lose in the lack of uniformity and things not coming up maybe as well, what we're gaining from just the pure planting date trumps that. So in beans, it's been huge to be ready to get out there and get beans in during the little windows that we get so we can have less late planted beans on our farm. Corn, on the other hand, I think what we've learned in the last couple of years coming off for us, two record years in a row with very little corn planted before the 10th or 15th of May, is that patience pays off because the uniformity of emergence is king in corn. So if I plant the corn and it can come up in 7 days and never look back and just keep going, that's where we set off the front side of it to have good yields. Now, yeah, we got to have help with Mother Nature on the back end, but getting that uniformity in corn is so huge. So, and that's hard for growers, you know, all of a sudden, especially if the neighbors get going, or maybe it's fit as far as dryness, but it's still cold. We've got to have those steady heat units and look at your forecast, do heat unit forecast. If I plant my corn today, how many days will it take to get out of the ground? I mean, it's just math. Anybody can do it. Yeah. Look, pick your favorite weather, you know, site that you use and look at what the forecasts are and run the calculations. But as we've done that, I think it's really helped, you know, the foundation of the corn yields for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question about it. If there is one thing, and we notice it when we're out on crop tour, yeah, in the third week of August every year, Missy, you can tell the fields very easily that emerged with consistency from north to south, east to west across that field. And they've got better yield potential than if you've got the ragged stand or ear sets on those stalks. It's true. What you're talking about is absolutely 100% accurate, that consistency and that emergence is going to set the groundwork for a good yield later in the year. So, yeah, good stuff. And patience.
That's right. I mean, patience. And that's what I think, we, you know, in coming off two big corn yields and knowing that most, you know, used to be, you think, well, if you didn't start planting corn on the 15th of May, well, then that's late. Well, no, that's basically probably depending on the weather, obviously, in your heat units. But for us up here, you know, if I can plant it, it can be out of the ground in 7 days, I'm going to have a lot better opportunity. Now, you know, you still got to get it all done too, right? We don't want to get too into June, obviously, either. So you still got to manage the logistics on your farm. But the patience on corn, I think, has been huge. And you know, this year we have been seeing, you know, some seed. We do a lot of seed testing for quality. There's been some shaky seed on the corn and bean sides both. And even dealers getting numbers pulled back from them and stuff. So there's some seed quality issues probably out there too, which again means patience is more important. Okay. So, you know, the worm germ's fine. So let's make sure it's in the conditions that, you know, we can plant it and it get out of the ground good.
Yep. Okay. Something that you said early, Missy, I want to go back to, and that's the bugs. Joe and Davis and I have talked more than a few times during the winter that we wonder what exactly it might do to bug populations for us this spring. Is there anything that you want to do special this spring to make sure that you're not going to get behind on insect control?
Well, you know, one of the things to think about, and this kind of goes back to what I mentioned on the weed thing, but there's just so many green fields, right, from the winter annuals just having such a warm December and then, you know, part of January and then a lot of February warm. As those winter annuals get that early start like they have this year, even as insects that don't overwinter here, so black cutworm, you know, moths flying up and things, they're going to target those types of fields to lay their eggs in. Anything that's green, they're going to go in. So then all of a sudden we start looking at, well, now we could have more potential issues in some of these fields because they were basically dirty at the time of these peak flights are occurring. So, you know, one thing I think is really important, and it all goes hand in hand, is the idea of these getting some of these burn down applications done. And like I said, farmers like to kind of chintz or cheat when it comes to that sometimes, just trying to make it all work in a one pass thing. But this is probably not going to be the year to do that. If you got an opportunity to get out there and get things killed off, so when you get out there with the planter, things are clean. That's what we need to focus on, because it won't only affect your ability for that planter to run through there uniformly, but then also, you know, more potential issues with insects as well.
Yep. Well, Missy, this we know for certain. Every growing season is different. We're going to learn something from 2024 that we haven't maybe even thought about in the past on what it takes to grow corn and soybeans. So keep your eyes open for that one, okay?
You know, we try. We're learning every year and every day as we go as well. So yeah. Just good reminder out there to farmers, just take a step back, go a little slower, be safe. So most accidents happen when we go too fast.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Good stuff, Missy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good to talk with you.
You bet. Missy Bauer, B&M Crop Consulting out of Coldwater, Michigan. Okay, we've mentioned it a couple of times this morning already. Going to mention it again right now. We've got a report from USDA coming up. Davis and I will make sure that you know what the trade is expecting next.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Tradition.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I want to be. But so much waiting for me. Yeah, I want to go outside, I want to be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Flory. Bro, I got a problem.
Oh.
On my, so, you know, as well as anybody, I used to shoe horses for a living for a short time there.
Seen it with my own eyes.
Indeed. Indeed. Now, there are farriers who work with the bovines.
Sure.
And on my Facebook feed, I've clicked on a few of those videos. You know, that's some of these are nasty, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
But it's so rewarding to see that clean, healthy hoof at the end. I don't know. There's something about that just makes the atrocity worth it.
And the cow walking away.
Yes, just walking away.
Just walking away to make more milk. Yep. I agree. Yeah, it's rewarding. Yeah.
Yep, for sure. It just occurred to me during the break there, I was flipping through my Facebook a little bit.
Oh, that's it? I thought you were going to tie that into something.
No, I don't want to go too far down this road because, you know, it's kind of gnarly.
All right.
Yeah. You know, you get under that false sole and you don't know what you're going to find. You know, that's the thing.
That's right.
You don't know what's under there. And quickly here too, safety first, everybody. Missy Bauer brought it up. Accidents happen when we go too fast. You know, slow is smooth. Smooth is fast. You got to slow down to speed up. And I'll just say this one last thing. Don't stick your hand in there. Whatever you do, you are not quick enough. I know you think you are. You're not. We want you whole. We want you safe. That's all.
That's so right. Yep. You are so right on that.
Yep.
Don't do the risky stuff. It's just not worth it.
Yep. Yep. Just slow down to speed up, everybody. Yep. Okay. A good talk with Dr. Michael Cordonier. And I know we want to get to the USDA stuff here real quick ahead of the reports, talking about the Argentina, bug problem, which then somehow creates a bacterial infection within the plants, whatever. Mm-hmm. The pathology isn't as important as it was when I heard Missy Bauer talking about the potential for insect pressure in the Eastern Belt this year.
Yeah.
That made me a little nervous because those bugs down in South America have hopped from Brazil and made their way into Argentina now, according to Dr. C. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Probably different bugs up here.
Yeah.
We got to watch it, man.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. New issues, different issues. Sometimes it's an old issue that's new again that needs to be in your crop protection mindset as you're getting into the end of the growing season. There's no question about it. The mild winter that we had, while it was very enjoyable.
Sure.
Listen, I can live with the 10 days of cold that we had. I get it. But that 10 days may have left us with some consequences to pay for this year, and that might be having to deal with a few more bugs in the corn and soybean crops than what we've had to in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, seed treatments, and just being very mindful when it comes to making your plans for insect control for this year. I think that's prudent.
and a nice hot burn down she's looking forward to this year.
Yeah. Get rid of that weed cover. The fact that it has been as warm as it is, I was going to kind of joke around with her, and I thought, no, you know what? It's really not a joke because it's absolutely true. But we've already started to accumulate growing degree days this year. There have been days that that we've seen positive GDDs. And in the week ahead, those days are going to be coming more. We might be 80 degrees here on Sunday, dude.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
That'll do it. We are going to start accumulating GDDs very quickly. So watch the weeds, and you can talk to your entomologist about this as well. But the bugs react to the GDDs and grow.
Sure, they do.
On GDDs, the same as plants do. So
keep track. They like it as much as we do. Sure. Yep. All right, real quick. USDA expected to make relatively modest changes to its domestic usage forecast in the S&D report coming up here in about 5 minutes, Chip.
Right. The biggest change that I see based off of the average trade guess on a survey done by Reuters is on corn. The average trade guess for 23-24 carryover, 2.102 billion bushels, down 70 million bushels from March. So that's not an insignificant change. Gets us closer to that 2.0, which gets us closer to a sub 2 billion bushel carryover, which I think would change a lot of attitudes in that market. But for now, it takes 70 million bushels off, and I think that's what the trade is probably looking for. USDA in March on soybeans was at 315 million bushels. The average trade guess, 317 million bushels, up 2 million bushels. And then on wheat, the average trade guess, 690 million bushels, up from 673 million bushels in March. And then on cotton carryover, which has been absolutely all over the place, dude, is expected at 2.56 million bales. In March, it was 2.8 million bales. 2.8 million bales is a small number for cotton carryover. 2.56 is obviously even smaller, but there you go. I mean, it's something that we need to watch. And then just real quickly on the South American crop estimates on corn, the average trade guess on Argentine corn, 55.6. Brazil corn, 121.75. On soybeans, Argentina, 5.5 million metric tons. On Brazil, 151.68 million metric tons. So a lot of numbers to digest.
Yes. Real quick here, corn, just minutes ahead of the report, right around unchanged. Soybeans off about 8, and looking down at the wheat complex, down about 5 to 8 cents, we'll call it, ahead of the report here, Chip.
Outstanding. All right, come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Ed Usett from the University of Minnesota. He's a crop marketing specialist there at the Extension Service at the U of M. And tomorrow morning, we're going to have a conversation with Trish Cook, past president of the Iowa Pork Producers. And then we're going to have a free-for-all with Wiesmeyer, Tyne Morgan, me, and Davis right here on AgriTalk.
If farmers know one thing to be true, it's this. There are a lot of factors you can't control. The weather, breakdowns, and a million other variables. But for all the uncertainty, you wouldn't change a thing. Because that's farming. And that's why Koch Agronomic Services works to make life on the farm a bit more predictable. From nutrient management and protection to plant growth and seed enhancement, get the confidence of being in control. Visit KochAgSolutions.com.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can